As you can hear, we have a slight problem this morning because my voice is beginning to go. So I'm grateful that we've got two sermons. The one is the Word of God, and the other is the ordinance of baptism, which is an illustration of the gospel revealed in scriptures. Now, I have been told not to raise my voice, but that gives me an additional problem. I can't help it. I hate with a perfect hatred the old Welsh hwyl, where the preachers would work themselves up into a false state of excitement. But my friends, if you have come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, you cannot help but get excited about him, especially when we're looking at the gospel. So I'll try and be as brief as possible this morning, and the message that's been laid on my heart is the one that we had in our reading, the case of Naaman, the commander of the army of the king of Syria. And I want to take him as an illustration of what happens to us when God deals with us in salvation. That's what these people getting baptized are bearing witness to this morning. That they haven't done anything in many ways. It's the Lord Jesus that has come into their hearts and washed them from their sin, just as Naaman here was cleansed of his leprosy. Now, leprosy was quite a common disease in Bible times, and it was possibly the worst thing you could be afflicted with. We still have leprosy today in certain parts of the world, and what it does is numb your nerve endings. And as a result of that, the extremities get infected and people are not aware of it. And in the end, it disfigures a person in a horrible, horrible manner. And isn't that a very vivid picture of this spiritual disease called sin? Sin is leprosy of the soul. And what it does is numb us to spiritual realities. You know, before we were saved, we were completely oblivious to the fact that we had a soul. I attended chapel when I was growing up, but I was numb to the fact that I wasn't just a body, but I had a spirit. And when the body dies, the spirit lives forever, and that's the most important thing for us this morning. Soul well-being. Is it well with your soul? Are you ready to leave this world behind and stand before your Maker? And then the other thing about leprosy is that it disfigures because of the numbness and the infection that comes. It completely disfigures a person. And haven't we seen, even in these last months, the horrible disfigurement of sin? It's sin that has caused these terrible atrocities in France. It is sin nearer to home that causes the polarization in our society. It is sin that is behind estrangements in families. It is sin that causes churches to split. It's a horrible, horrible thing. It is sin that makes us fall again and again into the same things. It's not just a weakness that we have. We've got this disease, this spiritual leprosy called sin, and it makes us, and this is the worst thing about leprosy, It made a person ceremoniously unclean in the sight of God. So they were banished from the camp of the children of Israel. And my friend, the most serious thing about sin isn't so much the numbness, isn't even the disfigurements. It is the fact that it has separated us from God. And the most pressing need for every one of us this morning is to be made right with God. It's reconciliation. Oh, that's why I want us to look at Naaman here, who was a leper, because leprosy is such a vivid picture of sin. But we don't leave it at that. Otherwise, there'd be no hope for us. What we've got in this chapter is a leper being cleansed. And you know what, my friends? There is a cure for the disease of sin. And that's what I want to tell you about. And that's what the second sermon will point us to. Even though we've been terribly polluted by sin, there is a washing to be had. And the one thing that is burdening me this morning is that this is God's way. And God's thoughts are so different, so much above our thoughts. Now, this is what struck me in the reading. When we try to deal with sin, we make it so complicated. Did you notice in the reading how simple God's answer is? The gospel, you know, isn't something beyond us. It is crystal clear. Now, let me just go through a few things here before coming to the very antidotes. Look at this important man, Naaman. He's really high up in the courts of the king of Syria. And the maid that waited on his wife hears about his leprosy. The maid knew of a cure. Nobody in the courts knew. It was this poor Israelite refugee that knew of one who could cure him. And that encourages me no end. Because God doesn't use the great and the good to tell us this gospel. It's ordinary people like you and me. And I feel very, very ordinary this morning with my voice. And that encourages me no end. Because God can use me and you in our weakness. All she said was, "Oh, that my master would, oh, if only he knew of the prophet in Israel. If only he knew." That's all I am, my friends. I'm just pointing to one who can cleanse you of your sin. Would you be free of your burden of sin? Don't try and do it yourself. There is one who can cleanse you. There is a place you can go to. There is cleansing in the blood that was shed on Calvary. Now, one of my favorite accounts of somebody preaching his first sermon was a man called Hugh Bourne in the 19th century. He was the founder of the Primitive Methodists. And he was preaching not in a church, but in a cottage somewhere in Staffordshire. And he thought, I can't preach, I'm not eloquent. And he thought, there's nobody going to turn up, but the cottage was full. And when he began to preach, he didn't want to see people. He thought, they're not going to like what I'm saying. So he covered his face, and he had enough of a slit between his fingers to see the Bible. But God spoke through him, and people were saved. That's God's way. The simple preaching of Jesus Christ through ordinary people. And then look at the way that Naaman thinks he's going to be cleansed in Israel. He writes a letter, not to the prophet, but to the king of Israel. And he sends all these gifts to the king of Israel. And the king, when he has the letter, is incensed. He says, I haven't got the power to heal a person. And he's sent then to Elisha. Elisha hears about what happened in court, and he says, "Send him to me." And this is what I like. Elisha didn't bother coming out to meet him. He's got this most important person at his door. And all Elisha does, I can imagine Elisha just sitting down somewhere, reading, and he just sends his servant with a message, "Go wash yourself in the Jordan 7 times and you shall be clean." I think it was McLaren who said, "Elisha treated Naaman as a great man." No. Naaman wanted to be treated as a great man who happened to be a leper. But Elisha treated Naaman as a leper who happened to be a great man. And I don't know all of you here this morning. It's good to see a number of visitors. And I don't know if there are important people here. But in the house of God, we're all equal. And whatever greatness you may have in the world, listen, we're all spiritual lepers here this morning. And I'm not interested in your human greatness. I'm just interested in the fact that you and I are lepers and that Jesus Christ is the cure. That's all. That's all. And then, this is the most important thing in this chapter, the simplicity of the cure. This is what we need to concentrate on before we come to our second sermon. "Go wash yourself in the Jordan." Naaman was, again, incensed. The Jordan? Doesn't he realize what a puny river the Jordan is? You know, it's like somebody in this country being told, "Go and wash yourself in the Ely River." The Ely River. It's just a stream. Why can't I go and wash myself in the Wye? Now, that would be something. Or the Severn. Or the Thames. But the Ely River. Now, that's what Jordan was like in comparison to these great rivers in the land of Syria. And why don't you do something spectacular, Elisha? Why do I just have to go and dip myself 7 times? Why isn't there a fanfare? Why aren't there thunder and lightnings? I wonder, is there somebody here this morning who's thinking along those lines? "Yes, I need to be saved from this horrible disease of sin, but I'm looking for something spectacular to happen. As I was seeking salvation, I heard so many testimonies, and people were talking about things happening to them. And I was waiting on the Lord to do something to me before I believed. And I came to that place where I realized, no, all that is required is that I cast myself on Jesus Christ." Don't you like the servant of Naaman? He says, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" And I just want to echo those words. Oh, my friends, if you were being told to do something great, wouldn't you do it? If you were told that this would get you to heaven? I remember thinking when I was seeking, if I could go on pilgrimage, if I could walk from Land's End to John O'Groats, if that would make me right with God, I'd do it. And that's why people today are into their religious ceremonies. They think that going through those things will reconcile them. My friend, if God was asking you to do something great, and if there was a certainty at the end that that would give you salvation, wouldn't you do it? But he's saying, you don't have to, because Christ has done it all. On that cross, he died that we might be forgiven. He shed his blood, that blood that can cleanse us from all sin. He has done all that is necessary. All our salvation from beginning to end is in Christ. All you need to do is accept. That's all. That's what faith is. The wages of sin is death. But the free gift, that's what it is in the original, the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. What saves us from sin? Do you know what? Simple faith in Jesus Christ. I sometimes hear, before people are allowed to be baptized, that they have to go through a doctrine class. I don't find that in the New Testament. Yes, we must be taught, but that comes after. All you need to be saved is to know two things, that you're a sinner and that Jesus Christ is the Savior of such. That's all you need to know. So what about us this morning? Have we been to Jesus for the cleansing of our souls in that blood of the Lamb, the blood that was shed on Calvary? This water is preaching. It points to the water and the blood that flowed from his riven side, which is the double cure of sin. It's not going through that water that cleanses. That's just a reminder, a sign, like the bread and the wine in a communion, of something 2,000 years ago. And that event 2,000 years ago becoming a reality to us as we close with Jesus Christ. Very well, I'm going to have to stop there. My voice isn't going to last. But we've all got this disease, and there's no point trying to hide. There's no point trying to sort it out ourselves. It is only in Christ. It is not religion. It is Jesus Christ, the God-man. Only he is good enough to take away our sin. And only he, through his death, has reconciled us to God. Only the blood of Jesus Christ, divine blood, can cleanse from this horrible disease of sin. And all he requires of you and me is that we go to him just as we are and take him. And what do we do when we've done that? There's only one thing you can do. Praise him. Praise him forever condescending to love such people. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Jesus, the name to sinners dear. May his name be the one thing that is glorified as we witness what these brothers and sisters have experienced. And may every one of us here know what it is to be cleansed from our sin for his sake.